Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
So we'll leave it there. Are you feeling a bit more awake? Okay, so ready? The correct response is, good morning, Colin. Good morning, church! Yeah, that's great. Okay, I'm just going to pray real quick. Lord, I thank you that we can have a great time meeting with you this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for the word that you want to bring to us. I just give myself to you this morning, Lord. I thank you that you anoint my lips. And Jesus, I just want to respond to what you're saying today. I thank you that we can all do that. In your name, amen. Right, it's 2010. We've done it about 50 times already. But if you want to turn to the person next to you and just say, and really mean it, Happy New Year. Do you know the word happy and blessed are the same? Yeah, have a blessed new year. You know, I want to talk a bit today about resolutions being 2010. And I know Pastor Clive touched on this a little bit last week, but God's been really speaking to me about this. And he's given me some good stuff. You know, every year people make resolutions. If you're in the world or maybe not in, you know, maybe you're in church. Maybe you're thinking something like, this year I'm going to give up drinking. Or this year I'm going to give up smoking. Or this year I'm going to give up chocolate. Or this year I'm going to stop watching lots of horror movies. Or Gavin and Stacey, kind of the same thing. something like that. Maybe if you're a Christian, maybe your resolution has been, this year I'm going to pray more than I've ever prayed before. Or this year I'm going to be really holy. Or this year, I'm going to be the nicest person in the world. Or maybe our resolution is being, this year, I'm going to beat that sin that keeps, you know, tugging me down. The one that, you know, that one thing that keeps niggling away. I'm going to beat that this year. And maybe that's been one of our resolutions this year. Then maybe we've not got off to the best start. But don't worry, we're going to talk about how to start the best year ever. Okay? Now, I'm going to try not to spill this time. It left a nasty mark last time. Excuse me. Now, I think people often make resolutions because it's a time of year, a new year's, we think a new start, fresh start. And we look at ourselves, we think, what is there in my life that I don't like? What is there that could be better? And whether you're a Christian or not, I think it's easy for everyone to put their finger on something and think, that thing could be better. And I think that's where people make resolutions. It's from like, I want to be better, self-improvement. And it comes out of maybe the right heart, if we're Christian, especially thinking, I want to do better for God. But we get a bit mixed up along the way. So I'm going to need some people to help me tell a story. So, J247, don't let me down. I'm going to need a David. Come on, Ollie, come on down. You don't have to put your hands up, just run to the front. I'm going to need some bigger people as well, because I'm going to need 30,000 Israelites. Perfect. If you guys want to just step down here at the front, that'd be great. Okay, Ollie, do you want to be David? Fantastic. Thanks, Ollie. You're always up for everything. You don't know what I'm going to ask you to do, but you're up for everything. If you guys want to come down here, that's it, just on the front. Perfect. So I've got to make sure I keep an eye on the time and hope that nobody calls me. I've got a really embarrassing ringtone. Okay, if you guys stand there, I'm going to bring a prop I made earlier. Okay, this is the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, excuse me, Teddy. Now, it was rather rudimentary, but don't worry, it's just a prop. Okay, now I've got a cart. Might need two hands. This is the Ferrari of the biblical times, okay? So we've got a cart and the Ark of the Covenant. Can you see that on the camera? I just want to get a close-up of this. I spent hours making this. So a lot of skill went into that. If you read Leviticus, there's about six chapters of exactly how the ark was to be made, exactly the dimensions, the materials, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, I followed it to the letter. I was reading out the message. So. Anyway, it's exactly as it's in the Bible. Now, I want to give you a bit of background here. Where's David? David, you can come over here. This is our newly coronated King David. Is that the word? Crowned? Coronated? Crowned. That'll do. That's easier. Our newly crowned King David, King of Israel. And David's had a couple of people who not really liked him very much. Been a bit narky, those pesky Philistines again. And they've been coming and attacking him. But you know what? He's been faithful. He's been listening to the Lord. And he defeats them. So David's thinking, yes, everything's going well. But you know what? We're coming into a new season now. While David's father was reigning over Israel, Saul, he never once used the Ark of the Covenant. Never consulted what God wanted to do with the Ark. But David was like, yeah, we want the Ark. So at the time, the Ark was over here in, I can never pronounce it, Kadesh Synthesis. Something like that. Over here. And David and his 30,000 Israelites. That's terrible. I need some more Israelites, okay? Hands up, who wants to be an Israelite? Blessed children of God. You know, anointed, called, chosen. Anyone, come on. I'm going to have to pick on some people and embarrass them. Chad, yes. Come on, Paul. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Dean Newman, where are you? Timmy needs you. Fantastic. Josh's mum, are you here? This is Josh, apparently. Yeah, if you can, come down. Okay, we've got 30,000 Israelites. So David decides, he says, all the people, you know, if God thinks it's a good idea, and if you think it's a good idea, let's go get the ark. Perfect, Ollie, you are such a fantastic actor. And help with my stories. Okay, so Ollie, if you lead all the people down here and you grab your sled, your little cart. Now this sled, as I said, is like the Ferrari of the biblical age, okay? This thing is, it's got all the bells and whistles, ABS, power steering, five wheels, yeah. So they go over and get the ark. Okay, you guys, you can follow along and get the ark. If you want to follow this, by the way, because it might make it a little easier than actually watching, you can find it in 2 Samuel chapter 6, or, because it's really, really, really cool, 1 Chronicles 13. It's the same story twice, would you believe it? Okay, so, you're going to need to leave that on the floor, otherwise there's going to be a nasty incident. So push it down. If Pastor Paul was here, he'd be so pleased, because this is his favourite Bible story in the world. So, Now, in the Bible, they would have had to carry this by the poles, but since they probably will snap off, I'm just going to suggest you grab it by the handle there. And they put it on top of the wagon. You got that? You sure? Perfect. I don't know what's in it. I hope it's not fragile. Great. And they put it on the cart. So then they're like, yes, we've got the ark back. We've got the glory of God with us. So David says, okay, we're going to need a couple of guys, Uzzah and Ahio. You want to be Uzzah and Ahio? Fantastic. So you guys are at the front there, pulling the cart, about half a horsepower. Perfect. And then it just slow down a bit. And then we've got David behind the cart and 30,000 Israelites. He says, right, we're going to need to praise the Lord. So we're going to need some instruments. Chad, I'm going to ask Chad to come up here and help us out here. So at the front there, we have got the wooden instruments. So let's have some clarinets, oboes, flutes. So you first few guys here. Perfect. That's a great flute. Make some noise. Lovely. Oh, Paul, you're natural. Okay, then behind them, we've got the... it's probably something like pianos. Do you guys want to play pianos? Yeah, you can play the harp, David. That's fine. Yeah, play the piano. Okay, behind that was probably electric guitars. So, perfect. Behind that, we've got clashing cymbals. You want to give a big... Perfect. So let's have the woodwind. That's exactly like it sounds if you ever go and see a concert. And then we've got the pianos. I don't know. Okay, Chad, can you give us an example of how to play a piano? That's it. So that's it, ready? One finger Casio keyboard playing. Just like the maestro. That's perfect. Okay, there's guitars. Awesome. Was that Smoke on the Water? Oh, yeah. And then at the back, we've got the clashing cymbals. Yes, excellent. You wouldn't just stop at one. Let's keep them clashing. Okay, so these guys were praising the Lord, and they were on their way around. So I just want you to walk all the way around. And I'll walk around with you. And they were praising the Lord. It might have sounded something like this. Who knows? Oh, guys, play your instruments. Where's the pianos? Sing for us, Chad.
I am. Oh, there we go. Thank you.
Hosanna, 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 Hosanna in the highest.
Everybody is clapping.
Clap. Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Lord, I lift up your name. Lord, I lift up your name. With hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord, my God. Hosanna in the highest.
Keep saying.
Now a bit of dancing.
Hosanna.
Let's see those arms in the
Hosanna
air, everybody.
In
the ark's coming to town.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high.
Let's pick up the pace a bit, guys. Come, Uzziah and Ahio.
Yeah. Oh, we're the hearts full of praise. I'm being exalted, O oh Lord, my God.
Oh, don't touch it, though. Okay, let's rush down the center aisle, guys, back to the middle. All around the edge is fine. Never work with children, animals, or Israelites. And then you can stop it when you get to the front, guys.
Lord, I lift up your name. With hearts full of praise. I'm being exalted, O oh Lord, our God. Hosanna in the high.
Wait! Just as they were coming with the ark on the wagon, all the Israelites praising the Lord and singing, probably something like Hosanna the highest, the wagon hits a bump. And Uzziah, or Ahio, reaching out, thinks, no, the ark mustn't fall off the cart, it will be the worst thing ever happens. Reaches out to steady it. And dies.
Oh.
And all of the Israelites, everyone, just has a sharp intake of breath. And they all clapped once at the same time. One, two, three. They probably didn't, but they all sharp intake of breath. One, two, three. He's dead. And they were so sad. And David's thinking, Lord, what's happened? We went and we said, but if you wanted us to do it, and all the people thought it was a good idea, we'd go and get the ark. And it would be great. And they were singing and praising and all of that kind of thing. And yet someone has died. Do you know what the problem was? Do you know when David was over here talking to the people and he said, all right, guys, if God thinks it's a good idea and you think it's a good idea, let's do it. Do you know what they forgot to do? Ask if God thought it was a good idea. If he does, let's go. But they didn't actually consult him. Thank you guys so much. That was a fantastic portrayal there of David and the ark and the people. You can sit down here if you want. We're on those uncomfortable chairs. Does anyone know CPR? Okay, right. You're okay. Well, I'd be in so much trouble. No, don't push his tummy. He'll throw up everywhere. And I'll definitely never be allowed back. Okay, so David's heart intention was right. He's like, yeah, we want to get the glory of God. We want to praise him. We want to do all this kind of thing. But the decision I'm going to make is not going to be based on what the Lord said. It's going to be based on what I want to see happen, what I want to do. And because of that, there was death. Ahio died. You know, it's kind of similar with our New Year's resolutions. And not just resolutions. I want to make this clear. We're not just talking about the prayer that we might make or the resolution we might make on New Year's Day. The kind of resolutions we might be making day to day, the decisions we're making day to day. Last week, Pastor Clive was speaking a bit about resolutions and saying, you know, that we need to be making sure that the resolutions we're making out of what God is speaking directly to us, you know, we're making in line with God. But I'm not just talking about resolutions for the coming year, but just our day-to-day lives. I'm going to use the new year as a medium to communicate that. So it's kind of the same with our resolutions. Oh, that's really difficult to say. That, you know, we have the right heart intention, maybe, but we've not quite got the right idea. And it tends to be because we've got it wrong in three areas. We have the wrong standard for holiness. We have the wrong motive to change. and we have the wrong source of power to see change. And if we're living in any one of those three things, we're making resolutions out of our heart and our decision, our strength, then it leads to death, just like with David. You know, it leads to condemnation. Because the devil will tell us that you're not quite good enough for God yet. This year, why don't you decide to be really holy? Then you'll be acceptable. This year, why don't you decide to pray an extra 6 or 7 hours a day? Then you'll be acceptable in God's eyes. And I know that sounds ridiculous, that's over the top, but do you see what I mean? That it can be the same thing, but just very subtle. And just be, this year, you know, maybe give up eating so much chocolate. It's still the same kind of thing, that for some reason we're not quite good enough. And I'm not saying that's not what God wants, and we should all go out and never pray and eat loads of chocolate. You know, this isn't license to go out and just think, oh, there's grace and can do whatever. But it's important that we're not giving room for the enemy to steal our joy or our peace or our freedom. Okay, now, if we're making decisions, where is the next page of my notes? to try and do better, we end up in condemnation. For example, if we make a New Year's resolution to sin less or be more holy, if we've done that this year, in some way you thought, this year I'm going to decide to maybe, you know, I'm going to resist that temptation, that one thing that keeps really dragging me down, whatever it might be, then it's now January the 3rd, and it's 5 to 12. So probably by now, we've failed. Okay, it's been 3 days, we've probably failed. You know, it's kind of like, I know this is a silly joke, but, you know, I woke up on the 1st of January in the morning, and I said, Dear Lord, I've not sinned this year. I've not been overindulgent. You know, I've been nice to everybody. I've not lost my rag. You know, I've been good this year, and for that, I'm truly thankful. But in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed, and from then, I'm really going to need your help. You know, that might sound silly, but do you know what? There's an element of truth in that, that if we think I'm doing well, oh, yes, I've really got this right, then we are just setting ourselves up for a fall. But do you know what? I said earlier that we talk about how to start this year off to the best start ever. Excuse me. So you're ready? There's one word. Are you ready? There's one word. Grace! Oh, okay. Right, are you ready? There's one. This is the best start to any year. Not even just the year, but the rest of our lives, this decade. Are you ready? There's one word. Grace! Yeah, that's a better response. You know what? There is so much grace for us, for this year, for this next decade, for the rest of our lives, that we never need to be in condemnation or trying to do something ourselves again. You know what, J24/7, I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad that you guys are just really after God's word, because you know what? Some people could say that this is a message talking about grace and things like that for adults, that adults will get. But you guys, you know, you're living ahead of what you would be in the natural, and you guys can get hold of this. So make sure you're listening really well. I'm really proud of you doing. Brilliant. Okay, sorry. So grace. Now, grace can just sound like a word. You know, I've heard grace described as God's riches at Christ's expense. I thought, oh, that's kind of nice, that acronym. Yeah, lovely. Or mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. I thought, that's quite good. You know, let me think about it for a minute. Yeah. That's right. But you know, there's so much more to grace than just God's riches. There's so much more to grace than the giver, than what's being given. Grace is the giver. Grace is a person, and he's called Jesus. Now, if we are taking hold of grace, it means we're taking hold of Jesus. And don't worry, if you've been somebody who's this year already said, this year, I'm making a resolution to do such and such, and making this resolution, you're thinking, oh, I feel a bit condemned already, or like, oh, how am I going to get out of this? Don't worry, because you know what? Even in this situation with David and the ark, you know, there was death, but God is gracious and he redeemed the situation. So David, I'm going to need you to do one last thing for me. Can you just carry the ark over to Chad? That's it. So even though David had taken the ark and Ahio had died, or was it Uzzah? Oh, I was for you. Uzzah, thank you. Uzzah died. They took the ark over to Obed-Edom, and took it over to his house. Thanks, David. You can come sit back down. And Obed-Edom looked after it for a while. And do you know what? Even though out of this situation, the ark wasn't supposed to be here at the time, as soon as the ark was in Obed-Edom's house, everything was going well for this guy. He was prosperous. His cows were like extra big udders. And his sheeps were extra woolly. Sheep, I know. Sheeps were extra woolly. And his donkeys were extra donkey. And it was everything about his house was prosperous. His grain was like 10 feet tall and really sweet. Everything about his house, his household, his family was prospering, even though it came out of a wrong decision. So don't worry. Even if you think, oh, I'm under condemnation, the devil's already stolen everything, all my fruit for this year. No, it's wrong. It stops there because God can turn everything around for his good, for those that love him and are called according to his purposes, which is all of us. So there is grace. If we turn to Romans chapter 7, 17, I'm going to read this out of the truth because I think it couldn't be put in any better way. I'm not saying that because Pastor Colin sat in the front row. I just honestly think it is. This is so clear. Are you ready? This is everything we were talking about. The problem is this principle of sin that lived in me. I felt under its control and knew that nothing good lived in me. So, you know, it's like people looking at their lives, maybe at New Year's or whenever, and thinking, that's not quite right. That's not quite good enough. For even though I wanted to do what's right, make a resolution, I was powerless to obey. I ended up doing the very thing I was determined not to do. I kept on sinning and doing what was evil in God's eyes. To sin persistently in this way demonstrated that I was motivated by the sinful disposition that lived in me. It seemed I was out of control. And that's exactly what it's like when we ever make a choice to think, I need to better myself. I need to be holier. I need to pray more. I need to, something like that. Not in its motivation necessarily, but in a decision to say, I'm going to change out of my strength. The problem really comes that we can't change ourselves. We can only die and then be given new life by Jesus, by grace. Okay, so if we skip on to chapter 8, verse 3. Under the law, I could not do what God wanted because of my weak, sinful nature. God dealt with that by sending his own son to become a man, to live among sinners, and sinners, and then to make his life a sinless offering to God on their behalf. I'm going to skip back to the start of chapter 8. How wonderful then to be liberated now from all condemnation. This continual failure brought for those who live in Christ Jesus have been set free from all condemnation. Through Christ Jesus, a different principle now lives in me. A new law, the Spirit of life. He's set me free from the law of sin and death. Pastor Clive said this morning when he was up at the front here that if we respond to the word, we're appropriating it for ourselves and we begin to live in it. So let's do that. Let's be people who take hold of that, okay? We are set free from condemnation. Come on. Okay, so we're these people who've been set free from the law. But do you know what? If we make a decision to say, I'm going to make sure that I'm not giving into that temptation, or I'm going to spend an extra hour or two in praying in tongues really, really hard so that I'm more holy, or anything like that, then we are just putting ourselves back under the law, because the law is all about what we can try and do to be holy. But grace, Jesus, who is grace, has set us free from that so that now we don't come under the law. We don't have to do or be or try anything to be acceptable to God, because Jesus is acceptable to God. We're acceptable to God through him. You know, it says in John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law was given, but grace came. I've been reading a book recently about God's grace, about the Benjamin generation that we are, and just the prosperity of God. And it's amazing. God's really been speaking to me about what it means to get hold of this. If we can be a church that gets hold of the meaning of grace for this decade, then we're going to see all of the promises of God fulfilled. We're going to see everything that he said happen, going to happen. If we choose not to accept grace and we choose to try and do it in our own strength, will fail. Now, God is gracious and will redeem all things and, you know, turn things around for our good. But we want to be getting it right first time and not go through a lot of condemnation first, right? So earlier, I mentioned that we often try and change ourselves out of a kind of desire to be holier. And we have three main stumbling blocks. The first is that we don't understand God's standard of holiness. You know, maybe a resolution this year is, I'm not going to watch any horror movies because they're evil and sinful. But then at the same time, we go and turn on the TV and there's something with just as much violence and gore or horror, but it's a TV program. But that's okay because it's not a film. It's this kind of human standard of holiness that if I'm a bit holier, I'll be acceptable to God. But God's standard of holiness is 100%, which is unobtainable by ourselves. So if we're thinking that we can be holier, then we're going to fall at the first hurdle. The second is that we have the wrong motivation to change. Maybe part of it's right that we want to do what God's asking us to do. We want to be better for him. You know, we don't want him to look on us and to think, I'm just not happy with you. But that's, and it, maybe there's a right motivation in there somewhere, but it's still out of selfishness. It's still out of, I want to do better. I want to prove to all the people around me that I can do it, and it's pride. But do you know what? There is grace. The third problem is that we often find the wrong source of our power to change, that we think that as long as I try really hard, we can do it. But you know what, guys? We can't. So what's the solution? The person of grace, Jesus. If Jesus is the person of grace, when we meet with him, we're meeting with grace. Excuse me. When we're meeting with him, then we realize that he is holy. He is our standard of holiness. If we're meeting with him, then we're motivated to change because of his love, not our desire to change. We're boasting in who he is, not how much we might be able to do. If we're meeting with grace, then we're seeing him. We're seeing grace, who's reaching in and saying, look, you can't do it, but I've done it for you. So our motivation, our understanding of our power, and our source of that power just changes as soon as we're meeting with Jesus, just like we've been doing this morning. Now, maybe this year your New Year's resolution has been something like, this year my wife and I are not going to argue. That's a great resolution to have, you know, to have more peace in your family. But if it's coming out of, I'm going to decide I'm not going to be argumentative, I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to see it happen, then we're destined to see it fail, because it comes out of our strength. But there is grace for God to say, let me take hold of that situation and turn it around. And you know, you don't need to worry about it. You don't need to stress about it. You don't need to try and do something. Just let me work. And the same in finance, the same, you know, with anything. Same with provision, that there's no recession in heaven. If we're making decisions like, I'm not going to use my credit card at all this year, then maybe we're just coming under legalism and law, and that we miss out on the provision of God. And I'm not saying that's license to go out and just blow everything on your credit card, but to say, if we're in the provision, the grace of God, then there is more than enough. And if we're letting him provide rather than us striving to just kind of claw together a little more, then we're in his abundance and not under law, which is great. Jerry Bridges once said, every day of our Christian experience should be a day of relating to God on the basis of his grace alone. Because your worst days are never so bad that you're beyond the reach of God's grace. And your best days are never so good that you don't need it. I think that's so true, and that's for me what I want to get hold of this year, this decade, is the grace of God, and just understand the freedom that I've got. Come on, amen. Can I get the band up, please? I always find that this really helps me. It just helps me kind of get my mind in the right thing. Place and think, right, this is a decision I'm going to make, and it's not necessary, we don't need it, but I think it's helpful. So if I think it's helpful, then maybe you do too. So can we all just stand up, please? Now, I said that we'd talk about having the best start to any year ever, right? And that it's not making resolutions to try and improve ourselves or try and be better, but just taking hold of the grace of God and all the goodness that he has for us, right? So that's what I want us to do now. Let's push it a bit, because this is not a soppy, let's sit back and, oh, it's going to be great. David had to fight the Philistines. Before he took the ark out, the Philistines were coming against him, and David said, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord said, go and attack them, and he did, and he won. He had grace, he had the favor of the Lord. Then the Philistines came attacking again, and David said, Lord, what shall I do? And the Lord said, go and wait by the balsam trees, and when you hear marching the balsam trees, attack, and you'll defeat them. He had grace and favor of God, and he defeated the Philistines. It was only when he went, now I'm going to make a decision to do what I think looks good in my own eyes, that it brought death. So I'm not saying that grace is just an easy, oh, just sit back and it'll be great. You know, we're going to have to step into this, and we're going to have to, you know, take ground with it. But we don't go in our own strength. We go in grace, which is unmerited, undeserved favor of God in everything that we're doing. So I want us to pray now for two sets of people. The first is, maybe we've made kind of resolutions, not necessarily this year, but for our life. Maybe it's 10 years ago. Maybe it was last week, you know, whatever. We're making these kind of decisions that are like, I need to do better for the Lord. I need to do this. I need to spend more time doing that. Or I need to resist this temptation. But we're just ending up in condemnation and just this cycle of defeat. And I can do it in defeat. But, you know, today God's bringing grace for this next decade. So for every person, I just want us, let's just start to stir up our spirit. For every person that has been stuck in that cycle of condemnation, let's pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for freedom right now. For every person that has been trapped in condemnation and struggling with sin or with temptation or with this feeling of inadequacy, we break that power in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that this decade is a decade of grace on this church, on every person under the sound of my voice, every person that's watching on the internet, and every church, every family, every walk of life. Thank you, Jesus, that we come to know your grace this decade, this year. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, the second group of people I want to pray for is, if you've never made a decision to get to know grace, you've never made a decision to get to know Jesus, and you're like, wow, I've always thought if I was to become a Christian or something like that, I'd have to stop doing this, or I'd have to give up that, or I'd have to make all these really difficult decisions. But you know what? That's a lie. All you do, if you want that grace, is just to accept it. It's a free gift. It's unmerited, undeserved. There's nothing you can do for it. Then just take hold of it. Now, I'm going to pray, and if that's you, I want you to just pray something similar yourself. Just pray it out loud. Just tell the person next to you, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you are grace. Your grace is sufficient for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have set me free from the law of sin and death when you died for me on the cross. I thank you, Lord, that you are drawing me into your grace, into that place of freedom, protection, salvation. Lord, I thank you. You are so good. And I ask your Holy Spirit right now to come and live in me by your grace. Awesome. Amen. Do you know what? Thousands of churches across this nation are going to be closing their services about now with the benediction, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forevermore. But do you know what? That was never intended to be a closure for a service. If we can get hold of what it means to have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in us forevermore, do you think people wouldn't be walking out of church buildings today going,
yeah, this is all right, wasn't it? Yes, not bad.
We'll be walking out the door going, come on! Everyone needs to know what this grace is about. And so I just want to pray for that last thing, that this decade would be the church of God across this nation, standing up in your grace, Lord, not fighting about different theologies or differences in opinion or things that aren't essential to our faith, but Lord, we would be gathered under the banner of Christ, under grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace for this next year. In Jesus' mighty name. I want to thank you guys so much for letting me share this with you. And I just I'm so looking forward to living out this life of grace with you in 2010. And just, come on, let's see this grace impact everyone that we know. Pastor Clive.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.